half in just a minute, but I want to get out. I believe Dr. Fields used to say the root of the message. Amen. Amen. All right. In verse 12 of chapter 5, the Bible said, "Wherefore, as by one man's sin." Did you get it? "Wherefore, as by one." That's all there was. One case he couldn't pass the buck. Now, us Baptists today, we can lay it off on bunches of folks. "Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have," say it, "amen. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitudes of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Our Father, I thank you, God, for your word. And I stand here ready tonight, Lord, to preach exactly what you want me to preach. Don't let me say a thing that'll be offensive to the Holy Ghost, but let me say everything that'll be pleasing to him. Help this congregation to hold my hands up in prayer while I preach. There's a bunch of preachers here tonight, Lord, and help them to pray for me just exactly like they would want me to pray for them if they were standing here where I'm at right now. God, have your way, and when the invitation is given, may somebody be saved. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, amen. What has sin done? Some time ago now, you may remember reading and hearing a lot about the— what was that mountain that blowed up out yonder in Washington? Mount St. Helens. It got the coverage of the media around the world. And did you know there are folks still out there digging around in them ashes, trying to find out why this happened, or why that happened? And I dare say they may find a lot of things that they'll write down in books. But I believe tonight that we ought to look at what sin has done and is doing still after all these generations and centuries. I'm talking about the sin that started with Adam. Now they say that Mount St. Helens has died down. But the one thing about sin, it's still going full force. And there is not an individual here right now that sin has not touched your life. Probably sin has broke some hearts sitting here right there. I hear, like all these preachers do, if they're in the ministry, I hear folks that call me sometimes in the early hours. I'm going to talk about 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And all they can do is sob on the telephone. I mean, just cry. I have mothers to call me and say, "Preacher, My darling little girl has run off from home and left me a note and said, there ain't no use to look for me. I'm going to live. I'm going to live the way I want to. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to have me a good time. Somebody said, what is that? Honey, it's nothing in the world but sin. Amen. Amen. Now, you can dress it up and call it what you want to, and you can call it big names, little names, paint it up and do any sort of psychology you want to, but my friend, I'm here to tell you, it's still the work of the devil. Amen. And now, would you, what has sin done? Now, in Adam's case, and consequently to us, it made man a transgressor. We are. I want you to get something, and if you don't follow what I'm about to say right now, you might as well go home because you'll miss the whole rest of the message. I want you to notice this. We are, I don't care how saved you are, we're just an old saved sinner. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not justifying, and I'm not patting sin on the back, and I'm not saying a man's got a right to do it, but I'm going to tell you, the day you got saved, that didn't make you in a place or put you in a place where you would never sin. You're just as capable and probable of transgressing the will of God now as you ever were. Amen. Somebody say, can I get drunk? As a skunk. Did you hear that song that they sing a while ago? He loves me even when I'm bad. And you say, well, now, Brother Bruce, does the Bible teach that I can go out here and get drunk? Not if you're a child of God without chastisement. But it does emphatically teach that you're not out of the sin invented, for all have sinned. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, we all like sheep have gone astray. Stay with me. I want you to get something tonight. Nevertheless, I want you to get in verse 14. I want you to see it again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You said, oh, Brother Blue, what in the world has Adam's sin got to do with me? We are of Adam's race. That sinner that's been condemned because we are sinners, lost and going to hell until we get born again. Transgressors. You say, Brother, I remember something happened up here. I was going up the road one day. I had some letters that the car had to mail. And I went to the post office, had a postmistress. And I slid the mail through there. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, I've always been a Christian. I said, just kind of stepped back about 2 or 3 foot. She said, what for? I said, I want to get a look at you. You're the first one I've ever seen. I never had seen nobody that had always been a Christian. I never had seen nobody come into this world say, you said, oh, now, Brother Luke, do you believe little babies go to hell? No, sir. I believe they're safe until they reach the age of accountability, whatever that is in their own case. But I want to tell you right now, they come into this world speaking lies. I'm told a story about one of our babies, you know, and always so tickled about it, me and Mama was. And we brought her home from the hospital, and I'd hold it a while. She said, now, it's my time. And she'd hold it a while. And I'd look at it, and I said, oh, ain't it beautiful? It was so sweet. We had it on a pillow laying in our lap. And listen. I mean, that precious little old thing. Mrs. Robert and bro, it was so pretty. I mean, it was so pretty. And you know, we held it all day. She'd hold it a while, and I'd hold it a while. We bathed it so much. I think we bathed it about 5 times. And you know what? It come that night. We had his little nursery fixed up and his little bed, his little crib. And you know, we tuck it in there. And, oh, it was asleep. And we laid it down in its darling little bed. We put our arms around each other and said, isn't it sweet? It was asleep, and we eased back out. We got in the bed, you know, and I said, honey, God's good. Give us the most precious little old baby. We dozed off to sleep, Andy. Been asleep maybe 20 or 30 minutes. All of a sudden, the most blood-curdling cry you've ever heard in your life. Wah! 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 Mama jumped up on one side of the bed. I jumped up on the other, half asleep. We run into each other, knocked each other down. I run over a table. I knocked a chair down. Somehow I went through the dining room. I'll never know why. I wound up back in the nursery. We got the light on. Its knees was up in its belly. Its eyes bulged out. It was as red as it could be. And oh, it's screaming. And Mama picked it up and he said, that little ham was lying. There wasn't a thing in the world wrong with it. Amen. I want you to get something into mind. From Adam to here, we are transgressing sinners. I don't care how well you educate a world, she's still a transgressing, educated, sinning world. I don't care if you live in a $400,000 home, you're still a transgressing rich sinner. Amen. I don't care if you live in a shack by the road and poverty stricken, you are still a poor, poverty stricken, transgressing sinner. And the day you start admitting that and owning up to that, you're well on your way to doing business with God. Now, what's sin done to man? Made him, first of all, a transgressor. We transgress. God said, Adam, don't. Don't. You said, what do you think it was? It's not important. I hear folks arguing whether it was an apple or not. You know, actually, it doesn't matter to me. That's just as unimportant as anything I know. Well, you said, what made it sin when God said, don't? That's it. You said this drinking whiskey make me go to hell? No. That ain't what sends nobody to hell. Amen. You're a sinner. You may be a drinking sinner, cussing sinner, lying sinner, but you're a sinner. But your need as a transgressing sinner is to come to Christ, confess it, repent of it, forsake it, and let the blood of Jesus Christ wash you clean. Amen. A transgression. You say, well, now, Brother Ed, what is it that makes me a sinner? All have sinned. Adam fell. The first man, Adam, fell. And we are of that family, the human family. And one old color preacher said, we're snake bit. Every one of us. Every child here is from Adam's race. That old condemned blood flows in their veins. And so, ain't it? So, amen, the truth. I don't care. I mean, I don't care what you do. There is nothing you can do apart from repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will put you in right standing with God. Being a Baptist won't do it, Methodist won't do it, and Assembly won't do it. None denominations will do it. None of them will do it. Eat a machine, die, tie, bow, tie, bow, flail, honey, cut a watermelon, soft won't do it. Amen. It's going to take the blood of Jesus. You say, what do I need? Transfusion. You need a new heart. You have a wicked, sinful heart. Oh, you said, I'm trying to do better. You'll never make it. You're a transgressor. Sin entered into the world through Adam. We all became sinners. And I'm glad tonight I can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One lady, oh, so fine and refined one time, said, I'll be glad when some poet changes that word wretch. She said, ooh. Wretch, that makes you sound bad. I said, exactly what we are. We're just old wretched. Wretched. Hell-deserving, transgressing sinners. God made man. Boy, right here's where me and the Calvinist crowd can have a lot of falling outs real fast. And put him in the garden, and all he told him was, said, now don't you do that. Everything else all right. But now that's what you're not to do. And left him. To do it or not to do it. I believe I will. No, I don't know. Yeah, I believe I will. Isn't that so? Well, you said, how is it today? Same thing. Same identical thing. You say, well, now, Richard Blue, what about the dose? They're still right there. You say, can I? Oh, yes. Now, folks, I'm still right. You can look at me that way if you want to, but that's the truth. God does not bring an angel down and put him in a hole in your arm and say, bless God, I'll keep you from doing that. Here you are, and God's put the indwelling Holy Spirit in you and the witness of the Holy Spirit to tell you right and wrong. Amen. I hear a lot of folks say, well, now, after I've done that, I felt so bad, I knew it was wrong. No. You knew it was wrong before you died. Amen. I mean, you did. Now, I'm going to get us all right here. I'm going to get us all. Now, I ain't laughing. I'm just trying to show you what we are. Now, if you don't watch out, you'll lie on this by keeping your hands in your lap. Or you may lie by sticking your hands up. So he's got you going or coming. How many of you ever done something and knew before you done it it was wrong, but you done it anyway? We all have it. Transgressed. That's all we are. Huh? Now, the hard thing for the average Baptist to admit is that, not me. Oh, not me now, Lord. You know I just, and I hear folks when somebody else gets caught in something or doing something, but God know myself, they ought to know better. I never was so surprised in all the days of my life. Why, I never, oh, hush up. Shut up. Why? Well, you said, what can I do about it? 1 John 1 and verse 9. You said, what is it? If we will confess their sins. Huh? Did I miss that? Whose? If we will confess, boy, it's hard to say. We like to think we're a little bit, just not much, but just a tiny bit above the average. Oh, you ladies like to think, well, now that old girl, I never would do that. She used to teach us Sunday school class. I'm just a little bit better than that. Oh, I've heard preachers say, with a real angel tear dripping down their cheek, when one poor preacher had fallen and gone down, I've heard preachers say, I just can't figure that now. I mean, I just don't see how in the world I could do that. Oh, Lord. I know exactly how they done that. And you do too. I mean, I don't even have to read a book to find out. Sure, that's right. Why, you said, do you think I ought to call or get Webster's dictionary? No, I done read the answer right there. Transgressor. That's us. Do you know who I'm talking about? Us. I made the lady so mad one time. She, oh, listen. Slap me. I said to them, I said, Mama, there's not a mama here that's not got a daughter that's capable. I don't care, God bless your heart. What was that? Humanly speaking, fleshly speaking, that's capable of going wrong. Boy, she come to me after services. She said, you can't talk about my daughters like that. Said, you can't tell. Said, well, how dare you? Said, ain't my daughter. Say that. Well, she's about to put hands on me. Somebody said, what if she smacks you? I smacked her back. Well, yeah. I don't like to get smacked, do you, Andrew? You said you wouldn't. Try me. You might like it. What's sin done? Man, through his fallen state, has become a transgressor. And you say, Brother Ed, does that remain today? Right now. Number two. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to read verse 14. I want to tell you right now, it's amazing how many people don't believe in a literal, living, real devil right now. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend of mine, you better wake up. There is a real devil. And I'm not talking about your mother-in-law either. Now, you know we've become such liars, such proficient liars. We're good at it. We have actually lied to little kids about Easter till they think rabbits lay eggs. I actually believe it. Hopping down that bunny trail. And we've actually got kids to believe in the somewhere in the frigid frozen north. There's a little fat, overweight, red-faced, long-whiskered man with a rain... Oh, Lord God, nose. We're the biggest bunch of liars ever grown to be. I heard the funniest thing on the radio the other day. I just pulled over the side and just died. It was a record. And somebody say, you let some little red man come down my chimney at 4 o'clock in the morning, me and my shotgun in my hand. It better be Santa Claus. Amen. Oh, Lord. We believe junk like that. We actually believe that the devil is a figment of imagination. But he's real. And I'm here to tell you, he don't go around with a red suit on with a pitchfork in his hand, horns on. Oh, no! The Bible said he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. Are you listening to me? I believe this with all my soul. If there's ever been a time we need to introduce our children and sit down and honestly, conscientiously, sincerely try to explain to them one thing, it's the working power of the devil. Now, we've actually held up the kids a can of red devil lie with a picture of what they say. That's the devil. Till actually, we've got them to believe in that. But the devil is cunning and crafty. And he's walking up and down the world, and I might say this, not with a long tail and a pitchfork and horns, but my friend, in some of the most cunning, well-planned disguises you have ever imagined. And may I say this without trying to put a blot on the ministry? You'll find him standing right back. Ministry. What the book says, ain't it? When you say, how will I know him? Try the Spirit. Lay the book on him. That's what Jesus done, wasn't it? He laid the book on him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you start talking about the devil, as I said the other night, you're talking about somebody you are no match for. I cannot handle him. You cannot handle him. All of us together cannot handle him. The only hope we have is to plead the blood. You said, how many devils is there? One. How many demons is there? Million. You say, where will I find them out? Down at the beer joint? I imagine there's a big crop here right now. You say, what kind of demons is there? Oh, all kinds. Drinking demons? Lying demons? Lustful demons? Religious demons? Singing demons? Shouting demons? Well, I'm going to shake you here right now, and you may have to chew on this while. Good demons? See, what do you mean? Just so he can make you think good's being in there. Oh, look at you. You don't even say no bad words or nothing. See, the devil doesn't care whether you drink or cuss or lie or hold money. He don't care about that. The end result is what he's looking at. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you said, can he get a child of God and take him to hell? Emphatically, no. But I'll tell you what he can do. He can destroy, tear down, pull, cause you to lose. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. The devil is a tyrant. By that I mean he's riding roughshod.
Amen.
I mean roughshod. Do you think the devil today is just kind of snipping around the corner and says, I hope nobody will see? No, sir. He has come out in the open now. Free rights for gay. Free rights for gay. Human rights, abortion, adult, all folks, hear me. The devil's not back somewhere in the back centuries. He's out here right now.
Amen.
Amen. Did you ever dream in your wildest imagination that America would tolerate murder like we do? Did you know the sad thing about it? You don't even hear preachers, a whole lot of them, saying much about abortion anymore. You just don't hear much about it. Oh, right there at the start, boy, you just think preachers were just going to do something right off. But they're cooling down. Am I right? Just kind of nod your head. Sometimes preachers are exasperating to me. Boy, when back here a few years ago when they started changing the Bible, new perversions, so-called. Lord, you couldn't turn on the radio. Oh, bless God! Adjust them old sorry Bibles! You couldn't hear a preacher nowhere. Man, he'd just preach you right clean into hell if you even stopped and looked in a window that had something else other than the King James Version. Now then, well, I don't reckon there's no need to say nothing about it. God never said that. He said, cry loud. Spare not. Amen. See, the devil's walking up and down to the world, and he's about buffaloed a bunch of preachers. I know preachers right now that started out when I did, and you did, Andrew, and you do, Bob, that used to preach. I mean, just preach. Some bad preach and condemn. Why, listen, they condemn everything up to your toothpaste. I mean, sure. But now then, it's diplomacy. You know. Don't get on that. I didn't mean you. Oh, I wasn't talking about you. John come out of that wilderness, old skin stretched around him, honey running down through his beard, and a handful of roasted grasshoppers saying, repent. How long has it been since you've heard a message on repentance? I mean, just downright repentance. Wonder why that is. I'll tell you why. The devil's about got us buffaloed. Amen. Now, there was a preacher, pastor in the church. I could call the name, you'd know him. One of his young preachers come to him and told him something that's going on one day. And the preacher told him, and you say, was it so? Well, wait a minute. The preacher said, now, I've been knowing that for a long time. But now, I don't want nobody to shake the boat. Just keep everything going smooth. Let's just keep it on balance. Let's just kind of sweep it under the rug just a little bit. And let's don't get trouble stirred up. That trouble will endanger your position, your salary. They won't like you if you get on that. Get on it. Huh? Now we need to say nothing about that. We'll stir up trouble. We just got to keep that quiet.
Somebody, an old saying one time was, a new broom sweeps clean. Yeah, but the old broom knows where all the dirt's at. Yeah, I like that. Now, folks, let me tell you something, and you hear me well. There's never been a day that the devil's been given a green light like he is right now. I mean, you say, well, what's going to slow him down? I don't see a thing to slow him down. I know what could, but I don't see it being used. Now, let me say it. I want to say it sweet and kind. And notice my face, if it's red, that's just natural. I can't help that. But I'm going to say this today. You look around you and search all you want to, but this country is not full of God-fearing, sin-hating preachers as much as you'd like to think it is. There's preachers that will sell out to the devil at the snap of a finger. If you think we've got a big crop of John the Baptist, you're crazy. Amen. We ain't done that. Amen. I've had my heart broke in the last 2 or 3 years. I've saw men that I never dreamed would sell out. I've saw some of those men sell out. Amen. Have you? Sure have. So first of all, sin made man a transgressor, made Satan a tyrant, and then made Christ a sufferer. You say, why did Christ come, Brother Blue? Because there had to be that sacrifice for sin that nothing else could satisfy. What the law could not do, in that it was weak, everything else had failed. The rivers of blood of goats and bulls and doves had never satisfied God. Bless your dear heart. Christ came, the only sinless man that ever walked upon this earth. He came, and bless your heart, oh, how I feel something turning in my soul, and was obedient unto the cross. The Bible said, no guile was found in his mouth. I'm here to tell you, he was God's only sacrifice for sin. He had his face set like a flint to go to Calvary. You said, oh, now, Brother Boo, what demanded Christ's death? Sin. He who knew no sin became sin. Am I right? Now there's something else there. For who? Who? Say again, who? Why? He was taking our place at Calvary. Where we should have been, he went. The whipping that he experienced, I deserve. Every lash that was laid on him, I deserve it. But me being whipped would not pay the sin debt. It had to be someone sinless. What Adam had failed, that first man Adam, that second man Adam come to pay in full. That second man Adam came and walked among men, sinless. And then one day they took him to Calvary. after a mock trial and hung you between the heavens and the earth. And the Father, the sinless Father, had to turn his back on him. The sun failed to shine. Oh, friend of mine, hear me. He cried out and said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because the sinless Son of God could not look on sin. Bless your heart. That body that was beat and mauled one day bowed its head and fell between the locks of his shoulders. And the Bible said it pleased God. To bruise him. Now let me take time right here to tell you this. And if you miss everything else I said, he suffered that. Because of sin. That's it. And if Bill Harvey would have been the only human being alive, he would have died for sin. Boy, I don't know when I've ever had as good a time of preaching in all the days of my life. I don't know when I've enjoyed it anymore. But folks' sin made Christ a sufferer. For Christ also has once suffered for sinners, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And then next of all, it made the earth a wilderness. I want to tell you something, friend of mine. You can't look around, even though this whole world is as beautiful as she is. She bears the mark of sin. She bears the mark of sin. She's marred, crooked, and diseased, corrupt, and evil. Amen. And you say, Brother Blue, is that going to ever be corrected? Hallelujah. Yeah, there's going to be a day, and if you don't watch me now, I'll preach. There's going to be a day, and it'll too come by the power of God. There'll be a day, God bless your heart, the curse will be lifted. I don't reckon I've ever told you this, but you are looking at the only man that could out-eat a Negro at a watermelon eating. I lay claim to that. What I'm saying, when that curse is lifted, I want to see what a watermelon's going to look like. I believe it'll take an 18-wheeler to haul. This is beautiful now. You wait till the curse is lifted. You think a flower smells sweet now? Oh, glory to God. You can bury your face in a rose that big and go. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's going to be peace in the valley one day. I am here to tell you there will be a day when the curse will be rolled away. Amen. And you say, Brother Blue, when? I'll tell you right now, friend of mine, that is what the child of God's looking for every day.
wilderness. No briars will be on the road. No more. No more wilderness. And the mountain will be brought home. And the valley. Preacher, do you really believe that? Did you know? Let me lay one on you. There is going to be a day when the plowman will catch up with the reaper. There's going to be a day when knowledge shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You say, oh, brother, don't you think modern science is going to bring in a utopia? No! I'm not a post-millennialist. I don't believe it's going to get better and better. I believe it's going to wax worse and worse. And there'll be evil men, seducers. Amen. But there will be a day, hallelujah, when he's going to put all authority. King of kings, Lord. Hallelujah. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I can't help you if you're not as smart as I am. Amen. Yes, some folks are just turkeys. That's all you can say about it. Sin made punishment necessary. You say, now, there's a lot of folks that, oh, now, I don't see how no need of all of that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, punishment for sin is necessary. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. And I want to tell you something, I don't know about you, but this verse, when I read it, makes me want to straighten up. Chapter 25 and verse, let's see here, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto everlasting life. Somebody said, what kind of a... There is a final punishment. There is an eternal punishment. But I'm going to say to you right now, there is a judgment for sin to the believer. Amen. Sin's got to be punished. I believe that with all my... You said, Brother Blue, what do you mean? Your sins will find you out. You believe that? I believe it. You say, I don't believe it. I can't help it. I know it. I believe sin demands a punishment. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. That man will go around and say, I ain't never been whipped. God don't ever whip me. Then God emphatically and unapologetically said, you are a spiritual bastard. Now, you may not like that terminology, but God said it and give me the authority to repeat it. You don't have a heavenly father. Sin demands a punishment. You said, I'm getting by with mine for the time being. But mark her down. Are you marking it down? It will get its reward. Necessary. Necessary. Then last of all, turn your Bibles to chapter 16 of the book of Luke. 16 of the book of Luke, and I want to show you something else. It made hell a reality.
Folks, you listen to me right now. I never saw a day when as many liberal preachers were turning their nose up at a literal hell. You may be a modernist, and you may be a liberal, and you may be a compromiser, but there is a literal hell. Just as surely as there is a literal, real heaven. You said, I don't believe in hell. Well, friend of mine, I can't help that. God said it, and that settled it. Amen? You said, well, you debate with me about hell. Not one second. I ain't got nothing to debate about. I believe it. The man's a fool that'll deny the blessed truth of God's word. Now, you fellas may be different from me. When I walk up to a man to witness to him, and he unequivocally, I mean emphatically, sticks out his chin and said, I don't believe that Bible, I ain't got another thing to say to him. You said, I'm going to try to prove it to him. I don't have to do no such a thing. You'll join the company of fools when you do that. Well, you say you ought to try to help him. You can't help a man when you have to leave the Word of God to do it. You can't do it. When a man said, I don't believe the Word of God, I'll say, that's your privilege. Goodbye. Had a woman come to me and said, my husband don't read the Bible. I want you to come over to my house and prove to him it's right. I said, I'll not come. I didn't go either. Now, you said, I don't agree with you. I can't help it whether you do or not. I am not going to cast that before swine. I ain't going to do it. A man that denies the authority and the authenticity of that book and that eternal word of God and said, I do not believe it, I will not have it, then there's no basis for me to try to talk to him. I ain't got nothing else to tell him. I don't know nothing else to tell him. And you say, well, Brother Bill, what does that leave? Hell. It's all leave. Now, the poor Catholics, I say that poor in the realm of considering their ignorance, have had to, of necessity, create two places. First, limbo. That's for little babies. That's that, you know, in between. And then, purgatory. But I want to tell you, on the authority of the Word, there is no such place. When a man dies, having never been born again, having never known the Lord, he'll lift up his eyes in hell. No limbo, no purgatory, no in between, no praying you out. That is it. You said, Preacher Blue, is there a hell? Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. In what? In what? I preached at lots of funerals. A lot of folks said the grave is hell. Never one time have I ever saw any flames in the grave. That body is going through the natural process of going back to the dust. But that soul has taken its flight
to that land called hell. As I come to the close of this message, let me tell every sinner that's here right now, forget it. There is no purgatory. No Bonnie priest nor preacher will ever pray you out. There is not enough money or valuable possessions in this life to buy you out. You made your choice when you rejected the Savior. When you said no to the wooings of the Holy Ghost, and you said, I'm going to get up and leave when they make the altar call, I will have that God stuff. You made your choice. And friend, to die apart from God demands, scripturally demands, hell. Amen. For that not to be so would make God unjust. And a partiality between people, which God cannot do, that soul that sinneth shall die. Folks, did you know we have become so scientific oriented, and our kids are scientifically trained and educationally trained, that professors in the schoolroom have made a monk of your old-time religion and the Bible, and they're raising up at your permission little infidels. Amen. Some little smart-aleck, pipsqueak, so-called teacher will stand up in a class and teach evolution, and it's not so. I got so aggravated the other day. I was in Texas, and that stupid, that's all you can make out of it, theological professor went on the stand in the courtroom and said, we believe in the theory of creation. It's not a theory, it's a fact. When I tell you I believe in the Genesis account of creation, I'm not talking about a theory. I'm talking about an actual happening. Hallelujah. And that bird was not representing my thinking. Amen. No, sir. When you say I believe in some aspects of evolution, you're crazy. In the beginning, God created. I believe the same God that created the heavens and the earth created a hell. You said, for me? No. For the devil and his angels. That man that rejects the Savior will find his soul burning in the pit. Laugh at it if you will. Mock at it if you want to. When you go out that door tonight and not saved, God's letting me warn you. Sin's wrecking some of your lives. Come on, the instruments, please, and play softly. I wish I could take. Let me say this. I guess these last 4 years of my ministry has been so changed, like I've never had it changed in my life. I don't know of anything that's ever touched my life like the last 4 years of my ministry. When you walk as I have, by cell after cell after cell after cell after cell, after floor after floor after floor, after building after building after building. And see some of the finest, handsomest young men and women that thought that they could handle sin, thought that they was a match for the devil, and it would never catch up with them. Folks, if that don't break your heart and make you want to be a soul winner, nothing ever will. I went into death row one day and went into the death chamber. And I sat down in that snow white chair. And I said, "Can you leave me alone just a few minutes?" And I put my hand up on the arms of that chair. Believe it or not, you may not believe it, but this is the truth. If you've ever saw it, you know what I'm talking about. With very few exceptions concerning this chair and the electric chair, it has no cushions, and the back is higher. It has a two by fours or sixes runs up here for the head to go back again. There's very little difference. An oak chair painted white. But I sat down in it. Said, "Lord, I deserve this." And I thought of the men in fear and their tongues falling to the pallet of their mouth. Their arms buckled. But out of the corner of their eyes, they saw a piece of plywood and knew that behind it, three men were a hold of three switches. With a metal cap on their head and a kitchen sponge wet under that cap. I sat there and suddenly come roaring to my mind, "When sin is finished, it'll bring death." Now you can go on. I can't stop you. I have no power to make you be certain. Christ holds out to you eternal life. God's Son died to pay your sin debt. He went to the cross and drank every drop of the pain and agony that went with him. He suffered the for the unjust, the sinless for the sinner. And tonight that blessed Savior holds out to every lost man and woman, boy and girl here, and said, "Let whosoever wish come and take of the water of life freely." He said, "I paid it. You don't have to help do it. I've already taken care of it. All I want you to do is come and get it." He said, "Come on." You said, "Brother Blue, what if I don't?" Sin demands punishment. You're not turning me down. You're turning the Savior down. Am I right, preachers? What will you do with Jesus right now? What are you going to do with him? While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, and every Christian breathing a prayer, nobody looking around. I want to see the hand of that one that said tonight, "Preacher Blue, I'm a sinner. I'm lost, and I know it. I know, Brother Ed, I need to be saved. I know I may not be the best or the worst, but I know I'm lost. And I need prayer." I wonder, would you raise your hand up and say, "Pray for me"? Slip it up. Hold it long enough for me to see it. Now, that won't save you, but it will let me know you're concerned, and I'll pray for you. I wonder if there's a hand that'll go up right now. Say, "Pray for me, preacher. I don't want to die without the Savior. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to die in the shape I'm in. I don't want to die and go to hell." Will you raise up that hand and say, "Pray for me"? Come on. Come on right now. Right this minute. Right this minute. Raise up that hand. Say, "I'd like to be remembered in prayer." Anywhere? Anywhere? Then let me ask you this. I wonder how many tonight. That was a day in your life when you got saved. You got born again. Your name got wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life. But tonight you're not living like a citizen. You say, preacher, move away for me. Raise up that hand right there. Raise up that hand. Yes, I see you. I see your hand. Go up. I wonder if there's another one right there. Slip up that hand and say, I'm outside the will of God. I'm not living like I ought to live. Come on, raise it up. That man. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young lady. You may take them down. You may take them down, ma'am. Sir, you've listened to me all the time I preached. You could have got up and been rude and went out. But you didn't do it. You sat right there and listened to me. Young lady, you've listened to every word I've said. My prayer to God is tonight you'll get right with God. Promise you nobody will embarrass you or hurt you. We just want to see you saved or get right with God, whatever the need may be. I wonder if there's another hand that will go up just before we pray. Another. Yes, ma'am, I see. Our Father, tonight sins wrecking homes and wrecking lives. Young boys and girls right now, our lives are being wrecked. Oh, God, one of these days, if something doesn't happen, they'll wake up in hell. God, then it'll be too late. I pray tonight, Lord, those that raise their hand, whatever the need may be. Lord, they can run, they can get out, they can leave the building. But my prayer is tonight they'll come forward and say, Lord Jesus, I want my life to be different. May it be so tonight in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand together, please. And while God's speaking in your heart, you raise that hand up. And while